مبلغ for you is my prayer. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم reported to have said that the closest people to me on the day of judgment are those who recited the most salat upon me. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regards to this particular hadith, the renowned commentator of the Quran, the great thinker of the Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated that on the day of judgment, the person who is blessed with the company of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the most comfortable, and the means of attaining the companionship of the greatest Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to recite salat upon him abundantly. This hadith teaches us that reciting salat upon the noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indeed an excellent deed. All good deeds are resources to attain Jannah, whereas reciting salat on Nabi is a source of attaining the companionship of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. So please, once again, viewers of the channel, please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. Please make it part of your daily routine. Viewers of the channel, Islam has given the father a prominent and a distinguished status. You hear in many, many speeches where we talk about the status of the mother, but the father also has a distinguished and a prominent status as well. A father is such a great blessing for his children that his example is not found elsewhere. However, where Islam has highlighted the respect and importance of the father, it is also given his responsibilities and laid down there for him. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about some of the responsibilities of the father and some general tarbiyat of bringing up children and some of the difficulties we face. We're going to begin by giving you a parable. It is stated that Sayyidina Sahal bin Abdullah Tustari Ramatullah Ta'ala stated that when I was only 3 years of age, I used to get up in the night and I used to see my maternal uncle, Sayyidina Muhammad bin Sawar, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, and he was offering salah. One day he said to me, "Do you not remember Allah Azza wa Jal who has created you?" And I, as a young child, said to him, "Uncle, how should I remember him?" And he said, "At night, before you go to bed, imagine as if you are uttering the following sentence 3 times in your heart without moving your tongue. Allah is with me. Allah is watching me. Allah is my witness. Allah is with me. Allah is watching me. Allah is my witness. Allah is with me. Allah is watching me. Allah is my witness." Sayyidina Sal Rahmatullah Ta'ala further stated, "I recited these sentences for a few nights and then informed my uncle of it. And he asked me to repeat them 7 times. So then I started. As a result, I repeated it 7 times. He then instructed me to recite it 11 times. So I did as I was instructed. And this time I felt the pleasure of those words in my heart. After a year, my uncle observed and he saw that continue to recite what I have taught you until you reach your grave. This will benefit you in the worldly life as well as the afterlife." Sayyidina Sahal bin Abdullah Tustari Ramatullah Ta'ala stated, "Doing zikr in solitude, I continued to recite these words for many years until I felt its great spiritual pleasure in my heart. One day my uncle asked, 'O Sal, can a person disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, whereas Allah Azza wa Jal is with him, sees him, and is his witness?' 'No, certainly not,' I said. 'Therefore, refrain from sins,' he said." Viewers of the channel, from this we see quite a few things we see from this parable. Number one, that this child, he was only 3 years of age, but the tarbiyat that was given to that child at that age was so important, and he was told to continuously recite it for the rest of his life. And we saw how Sayyidina Muhammad bin Sawar Rahmatullah Ta'ala has given his nephew this madani environment. He gave him pearls and he didn't scold him, he didn't tell him off. He said, "Do you not remember Allah Azza wa Jalla who created you?" And the nephew was so practicing that he started acting upon the pearls by accepting it from the bottom of his heart, given to him by his uncle. And as a result of this, you know, it affected him and changed his heart. And nowadays we remember this great child, this child who grew up to be a saint of his time. none other than Sayyidina Sa'al bin Abdullah Tustari Ramatullah Talam. And his blessings are still being received today. So we can see from this that at that young age, that tarbiyah that child was given at the age of 3, that he was told to remember this and make it go into his heart and ponder over this. And it had a profound impact on the child's life. Again, point to note how young the child was. It is also stated that a trader, he went abroad to earn livelihood. And he left his home and his family. And he kept earning and sending monies to his home. All of a sudden, one day, he was informed that his wife had passed away. He immediately returned to his country. And when he asked about the reason that his wife had passed away, he learned that his wife was killed by his own son, who was the only son of the trader. Too much love and affection and abundance of wealth had spoiled his habits to such an extent that he became a drug addict due to the company of bad friends. And when his mother learned about the bad activities of her only son, she stopped giving him money. And when he did not get the money, even after his insistence, he exploded with rage and repeatedly stabbed his mother to death on the spot. Though, if you use the mother channel, he'd looked after his mother, but the passion of obedience and looking after mother came to an end when he did not get the money to feed his addiction. Due to this crime, he was sent to jail, where his father went to jail to meet his only son. And his father and he said to his father, if you had given me good at bringing instead of only earning money and had protected me from the bad company, you would not have seen this day. Don't you think it's because of you that I am here today? And there are many, many stories, viewers on the channel, where we see that people have ended up in jail, people have been hanged, and just before they have met their death, they've looked back on their life and they can relate to an event where the mother or the father did not give them that tarbiyah. The mother didn't stop them from doing things. The father didn't stop them from doing things. And what had happened is at that young age when you know, as they say in English, nip it in the bud, then the bud wasn't nipped at that time. And the tree was allowed to grow freely in whichever direction it went wanted. And then when it was out of control, and we could not control it. And that's what happens, that we see that children nowadays, once they get to that point, it's very, very hard to control them and manage them. And so we see here that also as a parent, as particularly as a father sometimes has this mindset that my job is purely to provide the money. You know, some fathers have said that I'm a walking ATM, that my job is to provide the money. I'll get them the clothes, I'll get them the shoes, I'll get them the PC PlayStations, I'll get them the computers, I'll get them the laptops, I'll get them the phones, I'll get them married, I'll get them the deposit on the house, I'll do this, and I'll do this. And that's my job, full stop. Well, it's debatable how much of that is your job, but that's another discussion. But what is your job is the upbringing of the children. That is your job. That is the job of the parent. Both the mother and the father, that is your responsibility. Faqih Abdullah Samarkandi, Rahmatullah, has narrated that the people who are first related to a man are his wife and his children. And they all, on the day of judgment, will humbly say in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, O our Lord, make this person compensate for our right, because he never educated us with religious teachings, and he provided us with haram sustenance, and we were unaware of this. That person will then be severely beaten, so severely for earning haram sustenance that his flesh will come off his bones. Then he will be brought to the balance, i.e. the mezan, where the angels will bring his good deeds equivalent to a mountain. Then one of his family members will step forward and say, I am short of good deeds, and will take some of them. Another person from his family will say, you made me eat from interest, and he also takes some of his good deeds. In this way, the family members will slowly, slowly take all of his good deeds. Then he will say, turning his face towards his wife and children, in grief and despair, alas, now I have the burden of those sins and acts of cruelty which I committed for you. The angels will then announce, he is the unfortunate person whose family has taken all of his good deeds, and he has entered the hellfire because of them. In this particular incident, we also talk about the cruelty and the sins that a person commits. Sometimes a father, when he's earning money, he doesn't think about whether it's halal or whether it's haram, and he doesn't care about it. He just wants to get the money in. And what happens, he commits all sorts of sins. And sometimes people don't even realize that we are committed to sin. You know, for example, if a taxi driver, and this might seem very, very insignificant, but if a taxi driver, the fare is £2 and he charges £2.50, that 50p is haram. That is not jais for you. And we hear so many times of people overcharging or trying to fiddle people or taking advantage of people. Just because they are non-Muslims and they are drunk, for argument's sake, you can't take advantage of them. And so again, all of these things, this haram income, by feeding your children with this haram income, it will affect them. And on the day of judgment, your good deeds will be taken away from you. You are the person that fought for them. You are the person that struggled for them. You are the person that worked 12 hours, 16 hours a day for them. And as a result of that, all of your good deeds are gone. And you know what happens is, viewers of the channel, that sometimes children, they don't value that wealth because they've never had to earn it. And there's a waqia that I've mentioned before many, many times on the channel. I'll mention it again. Where a person, he was wearing a shawl. This is in Pakistan. He was wearing a shawl, and the shawl was worth thousands of rupees. Yeah, the shawl was worth thousands of rupees. And he was wearing very, very cheap shoes. The shoes were probably only a couple of hundred rupees. And someone saw him, that he got his shawl and he started to wipe his shoes. They were dusty. And someone said to him that, you have such an expensive shawl. Your shoes are cheap. Why are you cleaning your shoes with such an expensive shawl? And he said, the shoes I bought with the money that I earned. This was given to me by my father. Or in another instance, it said, this I bought with the money that my father gave to me. So they value what they've earned themselves. I'm not saying to you, don't give to your children, give to your children. But we also need to teach them the value of money, the value of the goods that they give them. Otherwise, they'll misuse them. So as parents, obviously, we want to leave wealth behind. We want to leave something behind so that our children will not struggle the way that maybe we have struggled, that they'll have an easier life, a comfortable life. Yes, we want to do that. But if you leave them the love of the Rasul in their hearts, the love of Salah in their hearts, these are the sort of things that when you enter that dark and lonely grave, you will benefit from. You leave them £1 million, they'll spend it. And maybe they might spend a little bit on planting some trees for you or building a masjid for you, yeah? And that will be your sadaqah jariyah, maybe. And that's a big maybe, by the way. But the rest, they'll just spend it and enjoy it. And yes, it is a good thing that our children enjoy that. But the benefit that you will get in that grave is the tarbiyat that you give to your children. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, treat your children well and try to teach them good manners. Likewise, it is stated in another blessed hadith, no father has given anything to his child that is better than good manners. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi has said that good manners mean to make a child religious and pious. What else can be a better gift for children than this? These things are helpful in this world and the hereafter. Parents should not only make the children rich before departing from this life, but they should also make them religious. And that will also help them in their graves, as the reward of good deeds of living children are given to the dead in the graves. Surely righteous children are beneficial for parents even after their death. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that when a person dies, then all his deeds are discontinued except for three deeds. One, a permanent source of divine reward. Two, the knowledge by which benefit can be attained from and the righteous children who make dua for him. Your book of deeds are closed except for these things. It is stated in another blessed hadith that undoubtedly Allah azza wa jalla will elevate the rank of a righteous person in paradise. He will say, oh my Rabb, from where have I got this rank? And Allah azza wa jalla will say, your son has made dua for your forgiveness, therefore you have attained this rank. Allahu Akbar. This is the mercy of Allah azza wa jalla. By virtue of the son, his father is being blessed. If we also want our children to become the source of salvation in the hereafter, besides being obedient to us in the world, then we should also associate themselves with the Islamic environment of Dawat Islami. Then inshallah azza wa jalla, they will benefit us when we're in that dark and lonely grave. But it's not easy bringing up our children. And it's easy for me to sit here, but there's certain aspects of a children's tarbiyah, children's upbringing that we need to focus on. Number one is sometimes what happens is we have an only child, or we have an only son or an only daughter, and we pamper that child, we spoil that child. But spoiling that child is actually ruining that child. I saw it beautifully written somewhere. It said that if a parent brings up the children properly, then the grandparents can spoil the child. If the children have not been brought up properly, then the grandparents have to bring up the child. So if you've got a child that has been brought up, a grandchild that's been given good tarbiyat, then as grandparents you can spoil them. Why? Because they've got that good tarbiyat. That if you've given the good tarbiyat to your children, inshallah they will pass it on to them. But if you don't, then as grandparents or whatever, you need to be part of that tarbiyah process. If you feel that your children are lacking in giving the tarbiyah to your children, then you need to step in and assist them. So this tarbiyah is very, very important. We need to make sure that we don't spoil our children. We don't pamper them. And just because we have money, nowadays it's a material world. Nowadays we want the best shoes and the best things, but You know, don't give in to all of the whims and the fancies of our children. Yes, help them. Yes, assist them. But also teach them the values of money. Another thing that we should do as parents, we should keep a watchful eye on our children. What are our children doing? You know, there was a time many, many years ago that we used to do talks in Dawat Islami. We used to say that, you know, when you have a computer, at that time there was no PC tablets. There was not the facilities on the phones. There wasn't the laptops. And we used to say, yeah, if you have a computer in the home, keep it in the living room. Because if you've got the computer in the living room, then you can see what your children are doing. Nowadays, I've got two devices in front of me that can access the internet and all sorts. So it's very important that we keep an eye, on our children. What are they doing? Not only what they're doing on their PlayStations, on the PC tablets, on their phones, but also who are their friends, who are they associated with, who are they mixing with, where are they going, where are they coming? And, you know, we need to ask our children, Beta, where are you going? When are you coming back? You know, I remember, and as children, sometimes you might not like it. You know, I'm speaking to the children here now, that you might not like your parents asking you, who are you with? Where are you going? What time are you coming back? But I remember maybe my teens, my early teens, that one day my father asked me about my friends. And I said, oh, my friends are called this, this, and this. And he said to me that, okay, can you find out the names of the fathers of your friends? And I thought, that's a bit weird. It's my friends. Why does my dad want to know the names of the fathers of my friends, yeah? And I said to him, Abu, you know why? And he said, oh, maybe I know them. So I thought, okay. So when I was with my friends, in passing, in conversation, I said to him, oh, you know, what's your father called? Maybe my dad knows them. And they mentioned all the names. Because, alhamdulillah, I was quite an obedient child. So I came home, and I said to my father that, you know, this friend is the father of this friend. And they mentioned all the names. And as I went through the list, my father said to this friend here, whose father is this, I don't want you mixing with him. I don't want you associating with him. And at that time it hit me, it's my friend, yeah. I'm thinking, my friend, and he's, my dad is saying to me, no. But I listened to my father, and I'm thankful that I listened to my father, because later on I found out that that family wasn't a good family, and that child that I was a friend with, many, many, many years later, 10 years later, 12 years later, he was involved in drugs and eventually ended up in jail. Now, my father had that foresight. He knew that family, so he protected me from it. So as parents, we need to, you know, make sure that we protect our children, look out for our children, and know where they are going and know where they are coming. You know, my father would always ask me, what time are you going? What time are you coming? Who are you with? What are you doing there? And he would scare me as a child, that he used to say to me, I know, you know, everywhere you've been. And he'd scare me that he'd know what was happening. But as parents, we need to look out for our children, because, you know, a parent, you may, as a child, you might say, oh, well, I know my mother and dad. I know more than my mom. I know more than my dad. I know more because it's the modern world, the information is coming, and I know more. Yes, you may know more than your parents, but your parents have seen more. And because of that knowledge that they've seen, the advice that they can give you, you will only understand the advice that your parents give you when you get to that age. So as parents, it's very important that we advise our children, but it's also important that our children are brought up to be obedient, and they take that knowledge on as well. And if our children are given a good upbringing, if they are not given a good upbringing due to our heedlessness, we will be held accountable on the day of judgment. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of you are custodians, all of you are nigrans, and everyone will be asked about his dependents, subjects, or subordinates. The king is a custodian who will be asked about his subjects. A man is the custodian of his family, and he will be asked about his family. A woman is the custodian of the house of her husband and his offspring, and she will be asked about them. So again, it is our responsibility. We cannot shun that responsibility to say it's somebody else's. Because what happens is sometimes we shun the responsibility to somebody else and say, oh, you know, I've got a good qari in, he's looking after them, I've sent him to a good madrasa, they go to Darul Madina, they go to Madrasatul Madina, they go to Jamatul Madina, my job finished. No, your job is not finished. It is still your responsibility. Another aspect that, again, we've touched on, but it's very, very important, is the misuse of mobile phones, PCs, TVs, and PC tablets. Very, very hard to manage that. Very, very hard to police it. But as parents, we need to be very careful how our children use that. And that is one thing that we need to be very, very careful about. Another area that from a young age, if we, as parents, if we give that tarbiyah to our children, is making sure that our children always speak the truth. You've heard of the famous incident in which Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala, when he left his home, his mother gave him the tarbiyah, gave him the wasiyat, that Beta, no matter what happens in your life, never ever lie. And many, many years later, when he was asked about his success, how he had achieved so much, he said, it's because of that tarbiyah that my mother gave me. And he related the story that many of you have heard, where on the way to Baghdad, the robbers attacked the caravan and they could not find the gold on him. And he spoke the truth and said, I have the gold. And when he was asked that, why is it you spoke the truth? And he said that, you know, my mother told me never ever to lie. And, you know, the words of this great wali of Allah had a profound impact on these robbers. And they repented from their sins. They handed back all the wealth. And it said that they became walis of their time. But it's that tarbiyah that he was given at that young age, that never ever lie. And you may say, well, that's true. We teach our children never ever to lie. But unfortunately, we don't. You know, in our practical examples, you know, the children will pick up the phone and, you know, so you know who it is. So you give your child to pick up the phone and you say to the child, tell him I'm in the toilet, yeah? Tell him I'm busy. Tell him I'm outside. Tell him I've left my phone at home. And you're teaching that child to lie. You know, someone knocks at the door and you say to your child, you know, tell him that I'm not in. And you're teaching that child to lie. And in the same way that practically when our children, you know, do something wrong, then we also need to make sure that at that point we give them tarbiyah. And I mentioned this before, an example where, you know, you've got a cup, a child breaks it, there's two or three children there, you go into the room, you want to find out who's broken it, and the child is scared because they're scared of the punishment of the father, and they point to each other, he did it, he did it. And, you know, at that moment in time, what happens is either the parent, the father or the mother, he scolds all the children. Or he thinks to himself, you know what, I ain't got time for this, yeah? And he shouts to his wife, look, that plant pot's broken, the cup's broken, can you, you know, clean it up? And he goes back. And what's happened to that child that actually broke the cup, he's realized two things. He's realized that if I lie, then either I won't get punished, or the punishment will be shared. So what is lying? Good. You've taught that child now that lying is good. Lie is a way to save his skin. Lying is a way to get out of trouble. But if you say to that child, or them children are so bitter, I know one of you's done it. Yeah? We've not got jinns in the home that's done, one of you's done it. Now be honest, you know, and I appreciate your honesty. And if you're honest with me, inshallah, I won't punish you. So one child, he plucks up the courage and said, Dad, it was me. And at that moment, then again, we shouldn't get angry at the child because he has fulfilled he's fulfilled his part of the deal. He's been honest. So the child's been honest now. And he's told the truth. So what we should now, in a soft tone, this again, tarbiyat of a child in a soft tone, we say to the child, that beta, you know, okay, you broke the cup, but in future, can you please be careful, you know, make it easy. But you know what, beta, you made me proud today. You know what, beta, I'm very, very happy. I'm proud of you today. Why? Because you spoke the truth. Treat him, you know, get a pizza, get a burger, something, whatever. Just treat the child. Now what have you taught the child? You have taught the child that when I speak the truth, my father is happy with me. When I speak the truth, I'm rewarded. Same incident, but depending on how we do it. And so our tarbiyat of our children, again, you know, if you're constantly just shouting at your children, you know, constantly shouting at the children, a time will come where they will not listen because it's just a sound in the background that my father's shouting at me all the time, my mother's shouting at me all the time, and they won't pay any attention to it. And I've seen children where the fathers get really angry with the children, but children are just, okay. And the father's screaming away. And it has no impact on the child. Why? Because that's all they've had all their lives. And they just ignore it. So again, we need to give tarbiyat to love as well. Another area where we need to be very careful with our children, with bringing them up, is the language that we speak. The tone of the language that we speak. You know, we've said that example many times, that in a family where the parents speak Chinese, it's no surprise that the children also speak Chinese. In a family where the parents speak French, it's no surprise that the children speak French. In a family where the parents speak Arabic, there's no surprise that the children speak Arabic. In a family where the parents swear, there's no surprise when the children swear as well. If we swear, then our children will swear. If we have foul language, our children will have foul language. And we think that, you know what, so what? But then one day, them same children will swear at you. And I've seen it. I remember there was a family that I went many, many years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, and the brother was swearing in front of his children. I said, brother, don't do this. You know, one of these days, these children will swear at you. And lo and behold, 10, 15 years later, he phoned me up and he said, I remember that day you told me, and today my son swore at me. And I said, brother, why? Why have you, you know, these are the habits. If you smoke in front of your children, they will smoke. If you don't read your namaz, how do you expect you to read your namaz? You have to be a practical example, you know? And we see many, many times that, you know, a parent, a father or a mother will come and pick up the children from the madrasa. And the madrasa finishes, say, at 7 o'clock. But the children are not allowed out of the madrasa till 7:10. Why? because it's Salatul Asr. Why? Because it's Salatul Maghrib or Salatul Isha. So the children are encouraged to stay behind and read the namaz. The father is sitting in the car, waiting for his children just outside the masjid. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has not given him the tawfiq to be able to walk into the masjid and read his namaz. And so when that child comes out and he sees his father, that his father's not read the namaz, then for that child, what image is salah? For him, salah is something you do during madrasa time, full stop. You don't have to do it any other time, because nobody else does it. Yeah. In the same way, that daughter that goes to the madrasa and she puts the headscarf on, and when she comes out, she sees the mother without the headscarf, she takes it off. So what is that headscarf? It's a uniform for madrasa, full stop. So our tarbiyat is there. We don't want our children going to the cinema to watch films, but we're sitting at home watching films and dramas in front of them in Asian films and dramas. So what message are we giving to our children? We don't respect our parents, and then we expect our children to respect our parents. They will follow you. They will follow you. I believe that, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it is written that once someone said that a child, you know, we say normally a children are like a blank piece of paper. You write on that piece of paper and they will become that. But someone said that a child is more than that. A child is like a piece of stone. You engrave in that stone, and that engraving lasts for the whole life of that child. So that tarbiyat that we give is very, very important. Very, very important of how we give that tarbiyat, because that will last in the whole life. Another thing, as a parent, one thing that we need to do is we need to do dua. Dua for our children, and encourage our children to do dua for us as well. That is something that we need to have within our families, that we develop this environment where we do dua for each other. It is stated in the blessed hadith, there is no doubt the acceptance of three duas. One, the dua of an oppressed person, dua of a traveler, and the curse of a father for his son. Allahu Akbar. So, you know, we need to have these duas and positive duas for each other as well. So we need to make sure that we become practical examples for our children, and inshallah Azza wa Jal will make a change. Dawat Islami provides you with these platforms. Dawat Islami gives you these settings where you can go there and you can attend the weekly ishtamas, earn this knowledge. You can go on the Madani Kafilas, acquire the knowledge, acquire these tools. Now sometimes we think that, you know, giving tarbiyat of our children is so hard. It is. It is very, very hard. I'm not doubting it. And some things are almost, you know, we say that they're almost impossible to give. But our job is to try. And sometimes if you look at the tarbiyat that we have given, where we have been successful, that makes you realize that we can do much more. Here in the UK, when we are on these Madani Kafilas, and part of the jadwal for the Madani Kafilas, we go out and we meet people on the street and we talk to people and we invite people to the masjid. And when you're talking to these people, you come across people that have committed all sorts of sins. And, you know, we've met sinners that have committed every sin, but there's one sin I've not met. I personally have not met. Maybe the people that are watching this channel can say that, well, yeah, I've met a person that's committed that sin. And that is the sin of eating pork. That is the sin of eating pork. You'll get people who commit adultery, drugs, alcohol, all sorts of things, gambling, you name it. Pork? No. And right from me, why is this? From a young age, that child is taught that that thing is dirty. A child sometimes won't even mention the name, he'll go P-I-G. He's scared of saying the name of the animal because it's so dirty. A child, when he's walking past a shop that sells it, he'll go to the other side of the road. Where did he get that from? From us as parents, that tarbiyat has been given to that child. So that shows us that we can give tarbiyat. So if we can instill the hatred of pork, we can instill the hatred of alcohol. If we can instill the hatred of alcohol inside them, we can instill the love of salah, the love of fasting, the love of the Quran in that same children. We can do it. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's our responsibility as parents. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, save yourself and your family from that fire whose fuel is stones and men. It is our responsibility. We cannot blame anybody about this responsibility on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, you'll not be able to say, I got a good qari, I got a good teacher, I sent him there. No, it is your responsibility. So viewers of the channel, to sum up with regards today, that a father himself has to be a practical example. A mother has to be a practical example. And we need to give that tarbiyah to our children. And unless we are practical examples, you know, they say, preach what practice what you preach. Unless we practice what we preach, then our children will suffer and struggle. So I know that many of us make many, many mistakes. Many of us commit sins, but we need to rectify ourselves and we need to be practical examples in front of our children. Because that sins that we commit in front of our children, they will be passed on through generation and generation. So we need to repent from the sins that we have committed, try to make a change in our life, and give our children the best tarbiyah that we can. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah give me first and foremost the tawfiq to repent from any mistakes that I have made, to rectify my ways, to act upon what I have heard today. And also I pray that you also act upon what I have said today and pass it on to others as well. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mubalik for you is my prayer. Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep a